Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And now, another 102.5 The Bone Real Raw Sports Update.
So, they got to be down to 53 players by 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
I believe I just saw only 4 more cuts.
Yeah.
And then
so,
they'll be there.
So, it's smart with the new rules and everything, with the new preseason only being 3 games. It used to be where they had like 2 different cut down days. Now they do it all at once. Because it's only 3 preseason games. That way they can really take a little bit more time to evaluate the entire roster. When you start cutting people after game 1 or 2 of the preseason, then you might not get to see everything they have. So this is kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a win. But at the same time, some tough cuts are going to be made. Like, a lot of good young talent. Especially in the draft and the undrafted free agents we grabbed this year. So
how many this? I mean, the Bucks last year were the oldest team, right? Are they now one of the youngest teams?
I would say probably.
Yeah,
they got to be up there because I don't know. It's kind of like a, you don't want to say a rebuilding year, but.
Well, it's just that they had to do it. I mean, they had to get rid of some cap. They had to cut some players that they wouldn't have necessarily wanted to part with, but just had to out of necessity.
So here are the cuts so far, and I'm on Peter Report right here. So David Moore, wide receiver, I really wanted him to make the team, and I hope he clears waivers and goes to the practice squad because I think you can keep 16 people on the practice squad now. Which is, since it's a new pandemic rule, so they kept it in place. So that's good. J.J. Russell, linebacker, inside linebacker, got a lot of playing time in the preseason because K.J. Britt's been hurt. I liked him, too, so I hope he ends up on a practice squad. Besides that, offensive lineman Raekwon O'Neal, he's been cut. Willington Pavilion, defensive end, no idea who he is. He's gone. Richard LeConte III, they just signed like last week. He's a corner. He got cut. A lot of these guys, you don't know who they are, so I won't even read the rest of them. But the ones that you may be familiar with, John Wolford, third string quarterback. And we talked about this off air. They only kept 2 active quarterbacks last year also, which was Brady and Gabbert. And Trask ended up on they have this new thing now this year because of what happened to the 49ers in the playoffs last year when they were down to, like, no quarterbacks. Now you can keep an emergency third quarterback they can dress, go to the sideline and everything. And if something happens and your 2 quarterbacks get hurt, you can activate in the middle of the game, you can activate your emergency quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember there was – like the wide receiver that was playing for, I think it was Seattle, wasn't it?
No, it was 49ers. It was Brock Purdy got hurt. That's against the Eagles. Brock Purdy got hurt. Josh Johnson got hurt. They were down to like, they had no quarterbacks.
Yeah. So I think it happened a few times.
I think Christian McCaffrey had to play quarterback.
Yeah.
So they got that rule in there. Pat O'Connor, defensive lineman. I love Pat O'Connor. He got cut today. So hopefully he can end up back on the practice squad and make his way back onto the team. Rookie free agent Jose Ramirez, I think he was a 6th-round pick. Jose Ramirez, or he was a free agent. Linebacker, outside linebacker, he got cut today. Patrick Laird, who's a running back, who to me looks like Christian McCaffrey, and he's really good. Like, I like watching this kid play. He got cut. Hopefully he makes it back on the practice squad. Kalen Geiger, good receiver. And who knew that we were going to be so deep at receiver with these young guys? They all played extremely well in the preseason and in OTAs and everything else. Trey Palmer is poised to be a star. And I know every preseason you think you got that guy, and who was the guy with the afro from Nebraska back in the day? Bell.
Yeah.
Everybody thought he was going to be great, and he was a flop. Trey Palmer looks like a damn stud. He had another ridiculous catch Saturday night, and I don't even think the ball was being thrown to him. He jumped up 10 feet in the air and caught this pass. He mossed this defensive back, caught it over the top of him, and I'm pretty sure the ball is being thrown to somebody behind him, but he's a stud. He's really, really good. But because of that, you know, now we don't have Geiger on the team. Geiger, I thought, was great. Tay Barber, wide receiver, meh. Ronnie Brown, running back, I thought looked pretty good too. Did not make the cut. Then John Molshan, offensive lineman, he's probably going to end up back on the practice squad. USF player, Deidre Sinat,
yeah,
got cut today.
Yeah,
so he'll probably end up back on the practice squad. Nolan Turner, I thought played really well, safety. These guys are probably going to end up on the practice squad if they don't get picked up by another team. So that's so far what we saw there today. Yesterday, Cade Warner got cut. That's Kurt Warner's son.
Yep.
He did nothing in the preseason. He had one catch, I think, in the first game against the Steelers. I don't know. Then Ulysses Gilbert got cut. I believe that's the guy that hit Rashad White late and got that big fight in practice when training camp first started. I think that's who that was. Besides that, just some other names that nobody will recognize. So it's pretty much what we thought. There's a couple of surprises. But Saturday night's game, dude, what I liked about it, very few mistakes, really low on the penalties. Baker Mayfield, once again, looked perfect. I don't think he had an incomplete pass. And he had a beautiful touchdown pass to Chris Godwin. Just threaded a needle right into the end zone. Looks like him and Chris Godwin already have chemistry. He hit Chris Godwin, I think, 3 or 4 times on some great passes. One time, Chris Godwin kind of turned around in the zone while Baker Mayfield was about to get sacked. Boom. Just dumped it out to him. 10-yard gain, first down. Looked really, really good. Rashad White looked good Saturday night. He was gashing them for 8-9 yards at a time. The offensive line, it was the first time we saw Tristan Wirfs at left tackle.
How'd he look?
Great. He's Tristan Wirfs. And actually, the whole O-line looked pretty good. Even Gedeky on the right side looked pretty good Saturday night.
Okay.
He got beat a couple times, but yeah,
could that be because of the competition? You know, they're facing.
Yeah.
Probably not the.
I think it's a different starters. It's a different scheme, too. Like, we're going to run the ball way more. Way more with this, with Canales' offense. And it's going to be creative runs, but Gedeky's a good run blocker. Like, he's a mauler. It's the pass blocking he's had a problem with. But it's going to be fun to watch. They haven't really put out, they've only been showing like 5% of their playbook. But they did a jet sweep to Cade Otton for 10 yards the other, about 12 yards. I've never seen that. Like, I've never seen the Bucs do it, where the tight end goes into motion and they hand the ball off to him. And then Coe Keefe made a nice crackback block. And Otton has speed for a tight end. He hit the edge. Boom, 12-yard gain. I was like, I'm standing up. I stood up off the couch. I go, did we just hand the ball off to the tight end? That's pretty badass. But there's a lot of play action, a lot of motion. Baker Mayfield looks super comfortable. I was worried about Baker Mayfield. I have zero worry about Baker Mayfield now. I'm more worried. My biggest concern for the Bucs is our schedule and our head coach. Mm-hmm. That schedule is brutal. Especially the first 5 or 6 weeks. It's a toughie, man. I mean, real tough. We got the Eagles. We got the Buffalo Bills. I mean, it's a gauntlet, dude. So we'll see what happens. But at least from what I saw Saturday, it's not going to be a complete train wreck. It's not going to be the Lovie Smith Bucks. I really don't think that. I think we still got a ton of talent, and they look like they want to play. So pass rush, JTS had a nice sack. He had another play that was almost a sack where he tackled the quarterback for like a 1-yard gain. He looked fast. So we'll see. We'll see, man.
Sports Illustrated has the Bucks. This is a new, just predictions for the season.
Yeah.
Sports Illustrated's Connor Orr predicted the Bucks to finish 2-15. That's the latest one.
Well, that guy can suck it.
Saying that they're going to be overmatched this year. He said that the Buccaneers are going to be overmatched. I don't know how Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask will pilot this team through rough pockets of games, including weeks 11 to 16, where they face two legitimate Super Bowl contenders,
yeah,
along with some other teams that should be rounding into form by then. According to Orr's predictions, the Bucs are expected to lose all of their regular season games except for week 7 against the Atlanta Falcons at home and the week 13 matchup against the Carolina Panthers at Raymond James Stadium. While the Bucs are predicted to have a losing record, Tampa Bay fans believe the Bucs will defy all odds and reach the playoffs for the fourth consecutive season. If they do reach the playoffs, they match the franchise record set by the Bucs in 1999 to 2002.
I mean, they need some upsets. Obviously, they need to upset a few teams. But, I mean, I think we could beat the Tennessee Titans. I think we could beat the Falcons twice. I think we could beat the Carolina Panthers twice. So there's five games right there. So it's not complete. We should be able to beat the Bears here at home.
I think that first game, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think the first game versus Minnesota is going to set the tone for the season.
We might be able to win that. We might.
If they get a win there, you know, then you get another. It's just it's momentum, right? So if they start winning some games, get some confidence early, you know, you got Philadelphia pretty early too. But, you know, you never know. It's a new season. These people don't know. They're just making predictions too. They can make educated guesses, certainly.
Sure.
Trust the experts, right? But, I mean, you never know. I would say if they lose in Minnesota, then they come home and lose to Chicago. Yeah, it might be a 2-15 season. But if they win in Minnesota and then beat Chicago,
yeah,
it at home, you could be looking at a decent team. You just don't know what you're going to get till. So I'm looking forward to it, though. It's a new era. We're coming off the Brady hangover. He gave us some great years.
Mm-hmm.
So glad to have him here. We got a Super Bowl out of it.
Worth it.
Yeah. And, I mean, even if we stink the rest of my life, I mean, we had Tom Brady win a Super Bowl here in Tampa.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Doesn't even seem real at all. Totally worth it. I got to tell you, though. One of the things I saw on Saturday, too, it was the first time our starting defense was out there. And I saw a legitimate pass rush happening. And I thought to myself, if that comes together, that can be a big, big difference maker. Because I don't care how good your team is. If your quarterback is under pressure, it ruins everything. So my first thought was, Kirk Cousins is a tough dude. Like, I got a lot of respect for Kirk Cousins.
He is. Yeah.
He's a tough, tough dude. Like, I think 2 or 3 years in a row, he led the NFL in taking hits. Mm. And he just keeps getting up and playing. Bruises, battered, just the guy doesn't miss games. He's a tough son of a bitch. But he's also been known to throw some picks under pressure. And he's a human. And if Shaquille Barrett, if he gets back to form where he was 3 years ago when he had 19 and a half sacks and led the NFL that year, if JTS comes into his own and he looked real good Saturday, I know it's a preseason game. I'm not freaking out yet. But then you got Clancy, the rookie, who's being compared to, you know, greats like Warren Sapp and Aaron Donald and things like that. And you look at his film from college, and he's just a problem. Like, he just hits that gap. That sounded gay, but you know, he's a problem in the middle of that line. Vita Vea playing next to him, you know what I mean? If Devin White decides that he really wants to play for that $100 million contract or maybe more, then we get the best version of him. Levante David's still very good. You got Carlton Davis, you got Jamel Dean, you got Antoine Winfield Jr., who's also in a contract year and he's already an All-Pro. If that defense can play lights-out defense and the pass rush can cause a problem for people, then I think we're in a position to upset some folks. Are we going to upset the Eagles? Probably not. We're going to upset the 49ers? Probably not. But can we upset enough to win 9 games and squeak into a wild card? Who knows?
Maybe.
We'll see.
Like I said, the first 2 games I think are going to say a lot about the season. I think they're going to predict how it goes. Is it going to be what Connor Orr says from Sports Illustrated? If they drop the first 2, yeah, probably. But if they up, I don't know if you call it upset. Everybody's 0-0, right?
Yeah.
The first week. So I don't know. What is Minnesota projected to do?
I mean, they overachieved. They won like, what, 13 to 14 games last year, but most of the games they won were comebacks in the fourth quarter, like last minute. I know it still counts, but I don't think they're as good as their record showed. I don't know. Here's the thing. Like, when you look at talent across the board, the Bucks aren't that much worse than a lot of teams. I mean, the big question is quarterback, right? That's your leader. Well, Baker, I think, deserves a shot with a good receiving core and a decent, comfortable surrounding. And also, he's matured. He's a different guy, even in press conferences. He seems like he's way humbled and way, way different. If he protects the football, I think he'll be all right. His best year was when he had Nick Chubb running the ball like crazy. Rashad White could be that guy. Rashad White's a tough, powerful runner. And with him being like the sole guy, you know, he's the RB1 now. It depends on how that goes, too. Nobody knows until it starts happening. Rashad White could be, you know, the standout comeback player of the year. You don't know. Baker Mayfield may win. He may win comeback player of the year. You never know. If he wins 10 games and takes them to the playoffs, he's comeback player of the year. It'd be wild.
It's a lot of pressure on him, but this is a great opportunity for him, too. I mean, I know that Baker, you know, has kind of said that he wants to be here. He wants to be a fixture. He wants to stay beyond the 1 year. He just had the event where he was doing his charity foundation.
Yeah, him and his wife have a foundation
here in Tampa already. So yeah. It's their plan to be here. And if he wants to be here, that means he's got to perform.
Well, he's also playing for a contract.
Yes, right.
So right now he's on a sweetheart deal for, what, $10.5 million. But if he crushes, let's say just wild. This is a wild thing to even suggest. Let's say they not only have a good season, they have a great season. They win the division. What if the Bucks come out and win 12 games with Baker Mayfield? And he throws 40 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. He's going to make $50 million next year. The Bucks are going to have to pay him. And they will. If he did that, he will be a $50 million man, which isn't even that crazy in the NFL now. There's people making more than that. But if he did something like that, he would make $50 million. If he took him to the playoffs and had a decent year, let's say 30 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, he's still going to make $30 million. They're going to pay him. They got to at that point.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this or this or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.